First burlesque, now this! Christina Aguilera fumbled the lyrics to the national anthem at Super Bowl XLV, but did anybody notice? We bet Cher did. Today, we continue our annual tradition of 6 years of podcasting of finding the juicy tidbits of one of the nation's top entertainment and advertising events, the Super Bowl!
The best and worst ads, including Living Social's controversial trans ad and the Mini Cooper that couldn't get enough things stuffed into its boot.
And the Super Bowl halftime show. Hello, Black Eyed Peas? Daft Punk called. They want their Tron self-illuminating costumes back.
After the game, Fox topped things off with one of Glee's best episodes ever, putting homophobia front and center. Yet the show's only openly gay actor, Chris Colfer, was hardly seen on the show or in the Glee-branded ads.
Join us for this and all the hot news. An upcoming civil union tracker will ensure that everyone is treated fairly under Illinois law.
A gay slur sparks a bar fight with Shia LaBeouf.
A real-life fantasy island may run into a shortage of blonde wigs before it sinks into the sea.
And how watching the Super Bowl may lower your testosterone.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fantastic people like you. Go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a contribution. Thank you. And now, to honor America, four-time People's Choice Podcast Award winners, Fausto Fernos and Mark Fillion. Yay!
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming.
You like that?
Wow, we got an introduction. It was like very sporty.
And very, in the honor of the tradition of podcasting, very low budget, which as I'm introducing myself and you.
That was you? Oh my gosh, I think you spoiled it. I think people had no idea.
It's the reverb. I'm lucky and I'm happy that we've lived to a certain point in history, in culture, where live performances are now all auto-tuned.
Everything's auto-tuned?
Everything's auto-tuned, because I remember the year that Billy Joel was singing that national anthem, and the auto-tune device malfunctioned, and so the whole audience like gasped when Billy Joel started singing off-key. And this year, they said, hey, you know what? Technology's moved forward. T-Pain has lended his genius in order to iron out the bugs of that auto-tune device.
Did T-Pain actually have anything to do with making an auto-tune device?
Well, he helped popularize that effect.
But, I mean, he wasn't, like, making it, though.
No, no. Well, so. I mean, he actually probably worked behind the scenes. Okay. I don't know. I know he's made a lot of money associating his name with auto-tuning.
Because they do what they do nowadays. They're, like, they sell the computers with stereos. Like, these stereos are designed by, like, big sound people or musicians.
Yes.
As, like, a selling point.
T-Pain's auto-tune. Now correcting all the pitchiness at the national anthem at all the sports. Too bad Christina Aguilera, just like in burlesque, could not get the lines right.
Oh, poor Cher.
Oh, she's you know, she's staying at home going, I kept telling her, learn your goddamn lines, Christina. Damn it. Stanley, bring me a cocktail right now. I need a drink.
I'm always very skeptical because if she had sang it without a hitch, nobody would have talked about it. They're just like, eh, you know, because it's like, it's such a, you know, I mean, it's our national anthem, but I don't really think people really, you know, that's not the part of the show you enjoy watching.
I enjoy watching celebrities mess things up. And
well, that's why you
enjoy
it now, because she messed it up. Yes. If it had gone without a hitch, you wouldn't have cared.
Well, it's the humor of seeing, you know, the fat lady in the opera trip on her dress and fall into the trombone, into the tuba player, with her legs wiggling out of the tuba. Okay, for those of you who need help identifying the flub, at the around the 50-second mark when she started singing, Christina was supposed to sing, "Or the ramparts we watch were so gallantly streaming." But instead she sang, "What so proudly we watch at the twilight's last reaming."
Isn't there a line in the Star Spangled Banner about the twilight's last gleaming, though?
I actually went online and try to find the lyrics to the Spangled Banner, and I didn't realize that it was actually based on a longer, more elaborate poem.
Oh, yeah, by Francis Scott Key.
Yeah, who was gay, wasn't he? Or was he a lesbian?
No, that's America the Beautiful.
Oh, yeah, that was written by a lesbian.
That was written by... So when you think about those amber waves of grain, she's talking about...
Purple like, Forest of Majesty. It should have been Lavender Forest of Majesty. And this is actual what Francis Scott Key said. On the shore dimly seen through the mists of the deep, where the foe's haughty host in the dread silence reposes. What is that? Which of the breeze over the towering steep, as it fitfully blows, half conceal, half discloses. Now it catches the gleam of the morning's first beam, in fully glory reflected, now shines on the stream. 'Tis the star-spangled banner, oh, long may it wave over the land of the free. And the home, and you know the rest.
Yeah, home of the brave. I want to say he wrote it because he was actually watching a battle take place, and it was during the War of 1812, and I believe he was in the city of Baltimore.
That's in the days when, like, butch guys wrote poetry. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going back to the times, because after the Super Bowl, we were treated to a fabulous, fabulous Glee episode where all the football players were singing and dancing. Mm-hmm. So I think, here's another prediction, 2011, pro athlete, poets.
Okay, we'll see him do it.
Rewriting, then I'm going to go a little further because, you know, this is the Super Bowl. If you like sports or don't like them, this is where the nation comes together. It's almost like a State of the Union address for culture, mainstream culture of the United States. And it was seeing Janet Jackson's bare titty shocking the nation and the FCC into clamping down on mainstream media that ignited the revolution in the internet and podcasting and in social media, and which allowed the free expression of ideas, ultimately culminating in revolution in Egypt.
Basically, that's how it goes, the timeline.
So, to summarize, Janet Jackson's breasts, revolution in Egypt. America, you may be next. Don't fuck it up, as RuPaul says. So, you know, I think I would have been nervous if I would have been singing the national anthem in front of the world.
But she's a hard performed song to a lot. Sing. She's gone around and she's sung lots of times. So I don't. Why did she mess it up? She just messed it up.
She messed up burlesque too.
But also too, like, don't they also have like teleprompters for their songs too that they can read off of?
I don't think that you would lose street cred if you could not memorize the nation's anthem, because most kids, we all had to sing it. And I'm from Puerto Rico, which technically isn't really part of the United States, not according to some of the people who live there. And I had to sing it in elementary school.
Really? I don't think we ever really had to sing it. We just had to do like the Pledge of Allegiance.
We had to sing two songs in Puerto Rico, the Puerto Rican anthem and the American anthem.
Really?
A USA anthem. What is it called?
Well, does the Puerto Rican anthem have any like words to it and stuff?
Actually, the funny thing is, it's the exact same melody with different lyrics.
It's the same melody as
Jose se comió un podrido mango. Okay, for those of you who actually speak Spanish, you'll be laughing at home. The rest of you going scratching their heads. Go to Google Translate and run that phrase through.
It's something about what you have a rotten mango, right?
Yeah. John ate a rotten mango.
So congratulations to the people up in Green Bay. Your team won. Sorry, all the people in Pittsburgh. I got family there and lots of hot listeners. So
Scott, James, and Andrew, they must be dancing.
Yeah, they're up in Green Bay. So, but my condolences to the people in Pittsburgh. It was a good game though, from what I watched.
Well, they didn't have the support of Saturday Night Live and of Hollywood, because it seems like on every TV show, whenever they were depicting the events around the Super Bowl, it was always the Green Bay Packers. Is that correct? Yeah. I really don't watch the Super Bowl, the game. I watch the ads and all the other things.
Well, Green Bay Packers is kind of like, in a lot of ways, it's America's team. You know, people think of it because it's a Midwestern team, that it's, you know, it's kind of a community-owned team. So they really, like, that kind of symbizes. Whereas, you know, the Steelers are brawn and fighty, and, you know, they've got rabid fans in Pittsburgh and throughout the nation.
Tell the listeners what you were doing during the Super Bowl.
I was working out at the gym for mostly.
And you're working out your eyes, too. Watching other cuties at the gym watching the game.
Yeah, people that don't care about the game. They're just like, whatever.
It's a great cruising technique for the gay men who are listening to the show. You can go stand in the line of sight between the hot guy that's watching the TV screen at the gym and him and pretend like he's cruising
and
you.
And then he turns around and you're like, wait, you're looking at me, not the television set.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? I mean, come on, people. Why didn't they ask me to sing the national anthem? Me, Cher. I've actually got some awards, and I wouldn't mess up the lines like Christina Aguilera did.
She doesn't need to sing it then. She's got a whole, she's singing in Vegas. Give her a break.
I need some more exposure.
So what did you think of the commercials?
I want to talk more about Christina Aguilera botching.
I think her botching it up is probably, I don't know what else to say about it.
Well, a lot of people don't know what else to say about it because a lot of people said that if it wasn't for all the blogs and the media, like bringing attention to it, you know, present company included, that no one would have even noticed. And, you know, I think, look, it's a difficult song to sing.
I mean, honestly, why what did you expect? You expected that somebody was in the crowd, they were going to walk up and like point at her and be like, you fucked up that song. I can't believe you... You know, that's not...
Did you see the athletes, like, crying when she was singing? Maybe they were crying because she messed up the lyrics.
They were crying because, like, I can't believe I'm here. At ka-ching. It's payday. I'm going to get a wheelbarrow full of money dumped into my front lawn.
I would be crying, too. Mm. You know, because listen, just like podcasters, just like you out there in your job, these athletes, they struggle, too, and they don't know what their future holds. And,
yeah, they
and
might get brain concussions, and their head might fall off.
Well, they may not be hired by the team. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think it's hard to, like, in high school to be picked last? Imagine the person that was picked last to play for the Green Bay Packers this season. But you know what? A lot of money helps to cure those blues.
It sure does.
So the Black Eyed Peas halftime show, game, performance, concert.
It's called a halftime show.
Halftime show with Will.i.am. He said that he was going to be tweeting throughout the whole thing on the stage.
Was he?
Yeah. Do you know what happened?
What?
He has an iPhone with AT&T service. And he lost connection.
Are you serious? Well, it's like when you're around those kinds of things, like if you're around Wrigley Field here in Chicago, you can't get service sometimes because there's so many phones going off. And there, I'm sure there's thousands of people taking pictures with their iPhones and sending it up, you know, on the, updating their statuses. So it's going to get polluted. What he should have done is he should have just done one of those programs where you can tweet ahead of time.
Yes.
So that you could just do that and be like, I was tweeting.
Yeah, or pretend, you know, just like, listen, if he's lip syncing on stage, why not lip sync his tweets?
Was he lip syncing or is he auto corrected tune?
Well, there's a little bit, it's a mixture of both. You know, they're singing to a pre-recorded music with live instrumentation and certainly a Slash, the guy with a hat with the hair covering his face from Guns N' Roses. Yeah. I'm surprised that Axl Rose wasn't there.
I think, isn't he in like Celebrity Rehab?
Something like that. I think it's funny that the guitarist of a band is more famous than the lead singer.
Well, I mean, the lead singer is, what's the lead singer going to do? Do a duet with Fergie?
I would
gonna be
love
like, get
that.
Away from me, you old man.
Get away from me, you crack addict. Don't touch me. Yeah. Do you know how expensive this plastic surgery is? Now Fergie is Cher.
She will be someday.
One day, Fergie, you will understand what I have to go through, and then you'll be sorry that you laughed at me.
Of course, I was never married to a gay man.
Well, ooh, you're going to go there.
What?
You know, Josh Duhamel said that he felt a lot of sympathy for Fergie, who was terrified, nervous to death over performing for such a large audience.
Really?
Yeah.
Aww.
They were scared shitless because this kind of stuff, if you mess it up, it can kind of end your career.
That's true.
Look what happened to Paul McCartney.
But
and Janet Jackson, she never recovered from that.
Oh, come
she
on.
Now's she doing Tyler Perry movies.
That's a step up. She got to be a fierce black woman who found her soul.
She went from being one of the biggest names in pop music to a now an actress, one of the biggest names in Tyler Perry's films.
I think I think Janet's mourning. She's still in mourning.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't know.
So the Black Eyed Peas, I love the self-illuminating outfits. I'm a huge fan of the Black Eyed Peas. I'm a huge fan of Fergie. I loved every single moment of it. You know, I love the Tron-esque costumes. And I tweeted that the Daft Punk called, they want their Tron costumes back. And even I really actually thought it was really fantastic and beautiful and you know, almost rivaled the pageantry of the Olympics. That's how beautiful it was. And you know what? Here's what? The verdict. I loved it, the love theme.
Did you?
Yeah, the whole thing spelled out love. Mm-hmm. Where's the love, y'all? Right here. Our stage is shaped like the word love, y'all. I don't know. Now you know where it is. Where's the love, y'all? On the stage. Right there. Shaped like love. And then they had their LED lights in the shape of hearts, which is a symbol for amor.
For love.
For love.
Yes.
Love was front and center at this Super Bowl. This is the most loving Super Bowl ever.
Was it because it's the Valentine's Day is next Monday, or is it something else in the air?
Because we're fighting homophobia. This nation is coming together, shedding the shackles of bigotry and uniting the military, the gay and straight. Mm-hmm. And marriage equality is just around the corner. And 2011 is going to be fantastic.
It's the year of the rabbit. What did we learn? The rabbit in Chinese, they consider it a naturally homosexual animal. So this is going to be a good year for the gays. Lots of good things are going to happen this year.
I predict 2011 is the year of love. Mm-hmm. Where's the love, y'all? Right here.
I think the Black Eyed Peas already predicted it for you.
I'm glomming onto it. I'm naming it. I'm claiming it just like Oprah says.
Okay.
Love is the theme of 2011. Love in its most general form. If you are not, you're either a lover or a hater. You can't be both. You can hate lovers or you can love hating things. But no, love is where it's at, people. And love is the theme of 2011.
Okay.
What ads did you love, Mark Filion?
What ads did I love? I liked the Mini Cooper ad where they just kept trying to see the guy with the British accent. Because, you know, here in the United States, we call the back of a car, it's like the trunk. But in the UK, and I probably in Australia and maybe New Zealand too, they say boot. Or, you know, in the boot. So, but boot also means like butt. Here, you can, you know, you kick somebody in the boot or, you know, stick it in their booty, that kind of thing. And so they kept trying to shove things in the boot.
And like real phallocentric things, like a giant submarine sandwich.
Yes. Skis or stuff like that.
Dildos.
But then also, too, I think it may have been a commentary on gay marriage because, you know, gays, they do it in the boot. They stuck a wedding cake in there, too.
Yeah. I thought so. Love is where's the love, y'all?
Love
right
is
here,
there.
People. Mm-hmm. That's what and then they had a Trannylicious ad.
For Living Social, and so it was a guy, you know, there was one of those deal a day kind of sites, and so he just kept getting deal a day, and then the next thing you know, he was just like, he found some pumps, and was just like, I'm going to transition, and then at the end, you see him, like, in a dress, and
happy and healthy. Now, this guy who transitions in the ad, I forgot whether we're selling. I just thought, hey, it's a tranny.
One of those deal a day things so that you get, you know, you spend $20, but you get $40 worth of merchandise.
Oh, so it's a competitor to Groupon.
Yes.
So which ad at the end of the day offended more people? Was it Groupon's deforestation equals getting a bikini wax ad, or Tibetan food equals great sushi specials? Mm-hmm. Or tranny equals cross, you know, sex change or cross dressing equals savings.
Well, it depends on what's your the thing that most interests you. But I think the thing about the trans thing is how it's often portrayed, and I think that there's really a good percentage of people that really view being trans or cross dressing as like a slippery slope. And so you do that one little thing, and that, you know, that might, you know, let's say I'm a big butch guy and I have a beard and stuff. Oh, I shave that off. And then I'm like, oh, I'm going to wear like a pink t-shirt. Well, then the next thing I know, I just have to put on a pink bra and then some underwear. And then the next thing you know, it's like that slippery slope of transism.
I didn't realize that this football workout was going to make my pecs so big. Might as well take the little estrogen and make them all go all the way. I didn't realize that this pink shirt was going to be so slimming and feminine. Yeah. I kind of like it.
Because the thing was, like, if you're going to transition,
yeah,
no matter where you are along your transition, you can always just say, this stops here.
The bus stops here.
You know? You don't, like, before you go onto that table to get breast implants, you can say, I'm not going to do it.
Well, you know? I think, you know, for a lot of people, from all listening to all the trans people that have been on the show, one thing that they share in common is that they have an idea in their head, in their heart and their soul who they want to be.
Yeah.
And they want the outside to match the inside.
I understand
so that,
that
stops when they feel like those two things become in balance.
Right.
But the idea of somebody who doesn't know is that they feel that anything that's effeminate, anything that's sensitive, anything that can be construed as getting in touch with their feelings equals homosexuality and cross-dressing and, you know, the whole caboose.
And you have no control over it, though, is how it often is. Like, you just get caught up in this mania, this frenzy of what... It just doesn't work like that. It's kind of like when people, like, are in those movies and they learn how to do those special skills, like a five-minute montage. You know, when somebody transitioned, that's a process. It doesn't happen in 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's a lifetime of, you know, trying to figure out which is the best color for you. Orange or pink, fuchsia. Sometimes green is the best color.
What is the best color for you, Fausto?
For me? I look good in dark, solid colors, like blue, red, black.
You look good in red?
Yeah. I don't look good in orange or yellow. Where's the love, y'all? Here it is. Man, people just like gotten. You know what I loved so much? What I loved was the blonde pecs. So many blonde pecs in all these ads.
All those movies that were coming out. Is that what you're talking about? All those movies, there's blonde guys with big pecs.
Oh,
Thor,
my God.
Captain America. It was the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, and Terra Nova. Brandon Braga. Where are the gay people at, huh?
Yeah.
You said you wanted more gay people in your movies and TV shows? Put them in there.
They didn't send any back in time. We'll see what
happens. They said anyone in the future, none in the back
of
time.
You know what the premise for that show is,
what
right?
What is it?
We've managed to fuck up Earth so bad, the only thing we can do is send ourselves back in time. So these people are living in prehistoric times. And for the pilot, no gay characters.
Boo. Liar. Brandon Braga is a liar now.
Is he? Why?
Because he said he wanted more gay people in his things, and...
I don't know if he ever really said that.
Well, he said that he regrets not putting gay characters in Star Trek.
Well, we had talked about that last week, and it was the way he said it was like it wasn't very forward thinking. And I guess he kind of said he regrets it, but it was kind of one of those I regret it, but I don't really kind of care. Like, is what the article seemed like to me.
Now, well,
I didn't interview him, so I don't know exactly what's in his heart or what his sentiment is, but the way this read was kind of like, yeah, we regret it, but. I don't care.
Yeah, Michael Jackson after Elton, who's been on the show. You know, you think you would be a little more aggressive with your questioning.
Well, I think that I don't think that's what it is. I think he left that for me to interpret in there, and I think that maybe that's what he wanted to get across too.
I've been like Brandon
Braga. Because I read the article.
Can we get some nice blonde gay pecs into your TV show? I mean, they have Chris Evans in Captain America.
You really liked him as the when he went into the...
Oh, yeah.
How did it work? So Captain America is a guy...
And he's a weakling, he's 98 a weakling, pounds.
And they put him into a machine, so it's Chris Evans' head on like this weakling's body. And then they...
The plot of Captain America, just to summarize here, is the Rocky Horror Picture Show without the... drag queens and cross dressers.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. That's what
it
is.
Rocky is the star.
Rocky's the star.
Oh, Rocky.
Oh, Rocky. A weakling weighing 98 pounds got sand in his face, then kicked to the ground.
What came out first, the movie Rocky or Rocky Horror Picture Show? Or the play Rocky Horror?
I think it actually started out as a play and then became a movie.
But then Rocky with like Rocky Balboa?
That predates it, yeah.
You think?
I think he was named after Rocky.
You think?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean,
because the movie came out in 76, so I imagine it was probably on the stage in like 72, 74.
Well, there was Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
Oh, yeah.
That predates everybody.
That's probably what it's from.
And now for something we hope you really like, blonde pecs! Blonde
Thor.
Pecs. Thor. Who is playing Thor? My God, those pecs are gorgeous. And they're shaved,
Chris
too.
Chris Hemsworth. He's also got a hot brother, too. They look very much alike.
And they like to kiss each other when no one's looking. Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans need to lock lips. That'll be... And, you know, I know that Scott Herman is at home just crying into a pillow that he didn't get to play Captain America.
Did he really have a chance?
He had a dream.
Yeah.
And sometimes dreams come true.
Well, he can just dress up at home and...
I think he likes to dress up like Captain America with his girlfriend.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was like, who's your hero, baby? Who's your hero? try to penetrate this shield. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I love blonde pecs. I love the pecs. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking forward to seeing these movies.
The one other thing that had some kind of gay sexual attention to it was the Coke commercial that had the two guys at the border, and they were like guarding the border, and they had these big knives, and then one guy went to offer the other guy a Coke, but he was just like, I can't cross the border. So they, you know, they played around with the border lines a little bit so that they could have it.
Borderline.
But that
seems like you're going to lose my mind.
But I don't know if it's a Coke commercial or if it's a commercial for something else. I know somebody else posted some kind of commercial in the Fresh section at feastoffun.com, and that they it's based on another commercial where it was like at the border of India and Pakistan.
Yeah, it's the tension that war has is mm-hmm. equal to homophobia.
Oh, I know what it is. What? It wasn't a commercial. It was the changing of the guards.
Yes.
Like at the border at India and Pakistan, and they both do like these crazy ass dances, and they're kind of like roosters or cocks about to fight. It's nuts.
Roseanne's career, will it go the way of Betty White with a Snickers ad?
I don't think so. I think Betty was already on the upswing.
Yeah.
And Roseanne is not on the upswing.
Let's trace back Betty White's upswing mm-hmm. career from last year to present day.
Mm-hmm.
It was her appearance on Kathy Griffin's My Life on the D-List. Then it was the Snickers ad. Then it was
the Snickers viral ad first.
I think, no, she was on My Life on the D-List okay. first, and then the Snickers ad. And then the Facebook group to get her on Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. Then she got on Saturday Night Live. Now she's on a sitcom, and she's like the hottest thing in Hollywood.
Yes, and she was also in a movie.
And in the movie, it wasn't that good.
And she got a SAG award, and she gave the guy a hand job.
Yeah, she gave the statue a hand job. She went up and down with that. Amazing. So yeah, will Roseanne have the same impact on her career with the Snickers ad as
I don't think
Betty
it was
White?
As funny. Betty White's was definitely much more funny. It was funny and it was dirty. And when old ladies say dirty things, it's funny. With Roseanne, it was just, it just wasn't there.
And she's a logger, which is like, no, loggers are not necessarily sexy.
Mm-mm.
Unless you're the brawny guy.
Yeah, if you're the brawny guy.
But this is like deforestation. Like Richard Lewis is standing there going, why do we need so much wood? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, and then it makes us think like, oh, we're destroying the earth, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, is this supposed to be a happy, funny ad for candy bar? Not, you know, a geological, ecological awareness ad.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of deforestation, Groupon's ad, a winner or loser?
You know, I don't think it really gets across like what it is that you're going to get with it. I you know, I know what Groupon is because I live here in town. And I actually met the guy who founded it. But
he's really cute.
Yeah.
He's a good looking guy. And, smart, too.
And rich.
Why am I with you?
Who cares if we forget about all the other stuff? He's rich.
He's rich, people. You know,
he's richer than Arianna Huffington. But
she's a little bit richer today. She just sold the Huffington Post for $350
million. 315. 300 of which is cash.
Honey.
Cash on hand.
If I was Arianna Huffington, I'd be like, you're taking us all mm-hmm. out to dinner. Finally, she can pay her writers.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Liz Winstead said that the writers, Huffington Post is notorious for not paying the bloggers.
Well, everybody knows they don't pay them. It's just that Liz Winstead's joke was, if she, you know, Arianna keeps writing on Huffington Post about America needs jobs, jobs, jobs. She's like, well, why don't you give people a job? Start paying your writers.
No, but she's like notorious for mm-hmm. for promising money to people mm-hmm. and not paying them.
Right.
Like she's like late checks.
Mm-hmm. So Groupon's ad, I don't know about with the Brazil and the deforestation. They didn't really seem all that appealing to me. But they, you know, to some people, and some people were grossly offended by the Tibet one. And then I don't know. They didn't strike a chord with me really.
They would have done better just mm-hmm. buying an ad package and not to on Feast of Fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, for what they spent in that mm-hmm. Super Bowl ad, they could have bought ads on every single podcast ever,
mm-hmm.
on everyone that's ever done, and they would have gotten a lot more bang for their buck. I mean, they're an internet company. Mm-hmm. Why are you advertising on television?
We'll talk to them later. We'll get a hold of them.
But I mean, that's the point that I'm saying is like mm-hmm. a lot of these ads at the end are driving people to a website.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I love the Super Bowl, and I think it's a great thing, but it, you know, is it really worth the millions and sometimes billions of dollars that these companies spend to to reach these audiences in,
especially
in this
when
way.
These people are, you know, they're at parties and they're drunk and wasted and,
you know, it's like, I mean, it certainly it worked to some extent for GoDaddy, but now everybody thinks of GoDaddy as kind of like the I don't know, the Kmart of web hosting companies, you know? So it's kind of like, you know, it's like if you talk to web developers, they're all like, don't go to GoDaddy, whatever.
Well, and
you do.
I'm just like, the ads, it's, you know, they're known for the past couple of years for having these super sexy ads. And now this year is just like, where was the sex? Where was the sex appeal? And then you throw Joan Rivers like on head onto this 20 some year old's body. And I'm supposed to find that sexy or funny. I didn't find it funny or sexy.
Oh, boner killer. Oh.
She should have called the fashion police on herself.
She might have to. Citizen's arrest on yourself.
But what was your favorite commercial of all the commercials?
I like, listen, blonde pecs, man. Blonde you know, pecs. Not enough blonde pecs.
I really like the CarMax commercial where the guy is standing, he's like, he gets the great deal from CarMax. And he's like, yeah. I feel like a kid in a candy shop. And then there's a kid in a candy shop. He's like, I feel like a nerd at a robot convention. And then it's a nerd at a robot convention. And then
it goes on and on until
it's like you
find a gymnast at a mattress store. Yes. And she says, I feel like a guy, a douchebag at a CarMax ad. Or,
yes,
a gay man with a bag full of dicks.
It's a sissy with a bag full of dicks.
A sissy with a bag full of dicks. Yeah. Because, you know, butch gay guys don't enjoy dicks.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
Those icky, icky dicks.
Keep it away. The beer commercial, Stella Artois with Adrien Brody. Boring.
Man, Adrien Brody, we've seen him in person. We've seen him in movies.
He's handsome in person.
He doesn't do anything for me. Mm-mm. Absolutely nothing.
But I noticed a lot of people were getting hit by stuff this year.
Yeah.
There was cans were thrown at people, you know, in their head, in their groins.
Lots of things hitting each other. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like going, why do you want to associate your product with people being whacked in the face? But now I realize it's a football ad. Mm-hmm. And in football, people get hit.
They do get hit.
So it made sense.
They get hit. They also get lower testosterone.
Although the headline says watching the Super Bowl may lower your testosterone, this is not exactly accurate. Mm-hmm. They're saying that the action of watching a lot of these games involve a lot of unhealthy foods, pizza, nachos, chips, soda, and beers for your Super Bowl feast.
High carb stuff.
And the act of just sitting on a sofa for the whole rest of the day watching this event has a health benefit that's actually bad for men, especially. It feminizes men by lowering their testosterone levels. And this leads to an increased risk of obesity, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, stroke, and with that, death. Mm-hmm. As happens when you get a stroke.
Yeah, sometimes. Why? Well, so what are you supposed to, what's the alternative? Is to not drink alcohol? Because they said that like men in their 20s, a lot of them get a quarter of their caloric intake from booze.
25%.
Uh-huh. And I have to say, there's been periods of my life, especially like in my 20s.
Like right now?
Where a good quarter, if not a half of my caloric intake was booze.
Yeah. It's as Cookie Monster says, beer is a sometimes food, not an everyday food.
And so I guess the alternative is to just eat healthier.
Well, don't go hang out with the Obamas.
Why?
This is what they were serving. So they were having a Super Bowl party, and they invited J-Lo there, and this is what they were serving. Bratwurst, kielbasa, cheeseburgers, deep dish Chicago-style pizza, buffalo wings, German potato salad, which is potato salad with sugar in it.
And twice, bacon.
And bacon, twice-baked potatoes, potato chips, salad, God knows what that is, ice cream, and lots of beer.
Oh, well, that sounds like a fantastic, I'd go to that Super Bowl party.
Yeah, I think if President Obama invited me to the White House for the Super Bowl, I think I would go.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't complain about the food. That said, what happened to Michelle Obama's wanting the nation to eat healthier?
Well, every day, now and then you have to treat yourself, so she probably just, maybe she had salad that day. Who knows?
Fat actually converts testosterone into estrogen, the female hormone. The process, which takes place in the liver, is called aromatizing. It has nothing to do with aromas or scents. It refers to the enzyme aromatase. In itself, this isn't a problem. Men need a little bit of estrogen, just as women need a little bit of testosterone.
Yeah.
But when the level gets too high, it's tranny trouble.
See, it's that slippery slope.
It's not that slippery.
You know? So just start eating meat and less carbs.
It's more like the ride at Splash Mountain in Disney.
What's that?
There's a lot of twists and turns, and some couple parts of it are a little bit offensive, but at the end, you get really wet, and you had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to make that joke on the show. I'm really... life fulfilled, people.
I love going on that Splash Mountain. Are they going to retool it, though? Aren't they going to...
Yeah, they're going to take out all the fun parts, which is the offensive part.
I think they're going to change it to like Escape to Witch Mountain, so it's going to be The Rock and
Alien
spaceships.
I want the racist animals.
Mm.
That would be so much better. Really?
Which one is the racist in that?
They're all racist.
Oh, they all are? The alligator's racist.
Everything's racist.
Where a rabbit is.
You go into... listen, let's just say that once you go into Splash Mountain, you leave a little bit more... meaner. You become more of a Republican.
I just end up getting wet.
Well, yeah.
I don't know why. No matter where I sit when I go on Splash Mountain, I'm always like, I'm soaked.
And you always go to Splash Mountain in the evening, which is a terrible idea because in California, it's like, it gets cold at night and you're just like, and there's no, you would think that Splash Mountain, the bathrooms would have hot air blow dryers or something.
Yes.
But no.
No, they don't.
They don't have that.
Not
so you're just there going, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm all wet. Come on, people. This is Cher. I just went through Splash Mountain and I'm all wet now. What am I going to do? Man, I want some of that Huffington Post money. $300 million cash.
Cash.
Girl.
So it sold for $315 million. $300 cash on hand, and the rest $15 million is just, they're going to pay it to him over some time.
So maybe she can pull Shia LaBeouf out of jail.
I don't think he can go into jail.
Let's nickname him on the show now, The Beef.
The Beef?
Which is the Beef in English. The beef. So he was in a bar. I guess, what was he doing exactly?
He was in a bar, he was hanging out, he was getting drunk. I guess he comes in there all the time, and the people at the bar, they call him the Unabomber, because he comes in and he's usually
wearing... Shia LaBeouf, they call him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the guy who's picking up the fight with him.
No. They call Shia LaBeouf, they call him the Unabomber because he comes in and he wears glasses. He's got a scruffy beard and he's got like a hoodie on. And according to this article, that he comes in and he gets drunk with all his buddies. They get totally wasted and they often shut down the bar. And so one guy came up to him and asked him to have his photograph with him or to get an autograph, and he said no. He's like, I don't want it. He's a faggot anyway. And so then Shia LaBeouf didn't like that, and so he went to hit him, but before he could hit him, the guy got him and split his lip. And so the police were called, you know, I guess they were like talked to, and neither of them pressed any charges.
But I heard that the guy who got into the fight with Shia LaBeouf went home and did a video blog about it.
Oh, he did?
Crying. And then, you know, today he apologized and says he's no longer going to pick a fight with Jennifer Aniston.
That's Perez Hilton.
Oh, I'm confusing the two.
But I wonder, I'm going to have to analyze this because a lot of people I've seen like on things, you know, when Perez Hilton got hit by Will.i.am's manager because he used the F word, faggot. He was just like, that guy, you know, Perez Hilton deserved it to get hit. And then other people are just like saying that Shia LaBeouf's the asshole in this situation now. You know,
well, you can't have it both ways, America.
Yes.
Either the celebrities who won't, who refuse our every single demand in the public space are to blame, or it is us a slippery saying public.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's these bar fights, too. It's like once you add alcohol into these things, it's just like instant mess. You should never pick a bar fight. And there was that, you know, a sad story of a case of last week. There was a lesbian, I believe it was in Alabama, and these people picked a fight with her, and she went outside. And it's just like, you know, people, when somebody's picking a fight with you, don't go outside, because once you're outside, it's anything could happen. The first thing you do if somebody's picking a fight with you is walk right over to the bartender and you say, I want you to call the police. And especially in certain places like Chicago, is they have to, if you go to a bartender and you say, I want you to call the police, by law, they have to call the police.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah. So you have to call the police. And so
I have a lot of family members that like to get into bar fights. Not me.
And so I don't know where it is in other places, but and if they just, you know, they have no choice. And so you get them to call the police and you get the police there and just be like, get escorted out whatever way you can. Because you don't, you know, when people are drunk, they do crazy shit.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's
a little too late for some people in my family.
Yeah.
Well. They're like been bent. I have. I'm not going to say the names, but you know,
you have a list of people you like, you know, if they call at a certain hour, you're like,
don't call me after a certain hour. And they can't go into certain bars. They're banned from certain bars.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I know.
We'll talk about that after the show.
Yeah. Well, if you guys ever come to like a live podcast and want to know about it, I'll tell you guys, but I don't talk about my family on the air. My very colorful, eccentric family. In the state of Illinois, Land Illegal and Equality Illinois are funneling those hard-earned donations into a civil union tracker, aiming to make sure that same-sex and different-sex and opposite-sex couples are treated fairly under the law.
Well, because of the civil union law, anybody can use it. So if you're straight or if you're gay, you can use it to get married. So this is something that they're going to track, like who's getting married, figure out like how many kids the people have. You know, is this their first marriage? Are they married in another state? How long will the marriages last? I still think we should go down there. We should get it on the first day, get married, and then 5 seconds later go like, okay, now we want a divorce. Because you got to make sure the machine is greased and working.
You don't mess with my heart.
I also want to take bets too. Is like how long the first civil union is going to last. I predict that somebody's going to get married, and within 2 weeks, one of them's going to die.
Terribly cynical.
It's not cynical. It's just that's how it happens a lot of times. You know, it's you stay alive and you fight for it, and then once you get it, you're like, you know, my life's complete.
So more snow in Chicago in the Midwest?
Maybe.
You know what we need is to go on a vacation.
We do need to go.
Yeah. A place that has lots of blonde pecs.
No, this is just women.
This
they're building an island in the Maldives. It's going to be an artificial island in the shape of a high heel.
I thought it was like an island of drag queens. Look at that. No. That is like a prop from RuPaul's Drag Race. Are you kidding me? The island is shaped like two high heel shoes.
No, just one high heel shoe.
There's two.
Oh, there's two. Oh, yeah. Oh, I see
Your thumb was covering the other shoe.
Oh, I see it now.
But it's two pumps. And then the, like on top, there's all these little cabanas.
Well, they want everybody on the island to be blonde. So it's these Lithuanian investors. I'm sure there's no shortage of blonde people in Lithuania. So they're going to ship some of them down there to work. But there's a law in the Maldives that 50% of your workforce must be Maldivian, I'll say. Maldivian?
Maldivanese.
So they're going to have to get blonde wigs for the rest of the staff.
They're running into problems. They're running out of blonde wigs to put on their employees.
Well, they can always get more. But the problem is, though, too, is like, what's going to happen? Because the Maldives are also, they say, like, if we have global warming, the Maldives will be gone. So will the island sink before they get enough blonde wigs? What's going to happen? Or are they building this island so that, like, it'll be taller than the rest?
I just want to find a little person and put a blonde wig on them and call them the blonde tattoo.
boss, the drag queens are landed.
You know, Hervé Villechaize was a tranny chaser.
Oh, you think?
I think so.
I want to say, who did he get hit on? Didn't he hit on Allison
Angram? He was a sex animal. He was like, he loved, Allison Angram from Little House on the Prairie, Nellie Olson. Mm-hmm. She said on this show that Hervé Villechaize was hot and horny for her.
Mm-hmm.
What? I guess he was like a S&M bottom tranny chaser.
All right. Well, she's a woman, Fausto. Yeah,
well, but she has, you know, Nellie Olson's a little bit.
You're just trying to portray little people as sexual perverts.
Saying Hervé Villechaize had a reputation in Hollywood for being aggressive.
Mm-hmm. He sure did.
Like I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a people person, and I like to drink.
Hey, we have some things from the Feast of Fun page on Facebook. Corey Peck says, I wonder how many people noticed that Christina didn't know the words to our national anthem. And then Josh Hughes chimes in, I think everyone noticed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm pointing out that if you guys had not been reading the blogs, if you were just watching the show, that you probably would have not caught it.
No, because nobody knows the
words. It's a complicated song. It doesn't make half of the lyrics don't even make any sense. The guy was like probably like drunk on whiskey when he wrote it. Mm-hmm.
Pablo Beltran says, "This was my first Super Bowl. I was glad to see that the extras from Tron got another job. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy Tron."
And I so agree, Pablo.
Richie Mortley says, "Burlesque messed with her."
Probably she'll never be the same after Burlesque. You know, that movie messed a lot of people up.
Steve Ectis agrees with you, Fausto, on the Glee. He says, "Glee was a mess. If they were trying to lure new viewers, fail. Obviously, Ryan Murphy never played a team sport since he knows no rules or regulations, but it is Glee world."
Oh, because in the plot of the Glee episode, they had the singers of the Glee team, the girls, all of a sudden get on the team, and then halfway through the game, they're losing, and the homophobic guys have a change of heart, and everybody ends up being happy and dancing and singing together.
Sean Hernandez says, "I didn't laugh at any commercials this year again, but it was amusing the way Christina oversung just about every syllable after her mistake." And Lonnie Walker,
I think it's really great. The people are sort of like, the rest of the country is now feeling what Cher felt those 6 months they were filming Burlesque. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been lucky enough to have a lot of people that we've endured and suffered and gone tete to tete with in our lives, gone on reality TV shows, and have the reality TV show say exactly the same things that That's we true. Said.
Lanny Walker says, "A lot of attention is needed to watch the Super Bowl. Lots of brain activity. The losing team causes depression, and the winning team causes suppression. Male football fans suffer from erectile dysfunction. Say it ain't so."
Is she saying that
I think she's talking maybe about the testosterone.
When you win, that you also can't get it hard? See, the thing about football is, and I've been reading about it, is a lot of competitive sports act almost as a proxy for war. Mm-hmm. And before we had that kind of institution integrated into our society that we just like...
It's like gladiators.
Neighboring cities went to fight with each other. You imagine here in Chicago, like Andersonville versus Uptown.
We'd kick their ass.
The endless bloody battle. Or in New York, it would be Brooklyn versus Manhattan. Mm. You know, just the bloodshed would never end. And so instead, we have these teams that allow a lot of this frustration and warlike mentality to be constructively expressed. So if we didn't have sports, we would have war. I'd rather have sports.
Rather have that. And I'd rather have just athletes. Devon Chair says, "The best commercial, the Detroit Chrysler commercial and the Snickers commercial with Roseanne getting pummeled by a log, although Doritos had a couple great ones too." What'd you think about the Detroit commercial with Eminem and trying to play Detroit up as though it's not as bad as it all seems and they know how to make a luxury vehicle?
I like what Mo in The Simpsons says. Mm-hmm. Detroit is going through Mad Max times.
They're living in Mad Max times.
And if you want to have an ad that shows your city not sucking so much, don't show footage of your city, parts of your city that suck. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, don't show buildings that are crumbling in your ad if the point is trying to say that you're not all buildings in your city are crumbling. Mm-hmm. And when Eminem got into the stage with that whole black choir and they were like singing, what is the name of that song? You've got the one chance to go. Opportunity knocks once in a lifetime. You better hoop.
Slim Shady, something or other, right?
Something like that. And so he gets there. I thought he was going to have that crazy moment where he's going to sing with the black choir all pop stars do.
Uh-huh.
And they denied us that.
I wonder if it's online.
Maybe
we'll see.
Horrors of horrors. Josh Hughes. "Hey guys, mentioned the Traverse City Comedy Festival and I hand deliver a $50 donation over dinner, my treat in Chicago later this month.
Ooh.
The town site is, you guys have to have dinner with me." All right, give me $50, Josh.
Okay, give me a break. $50 is a lot of money to a college student and we're a non-for-profit. So Comedy Fest TC.org.
You know, my first free ad for you is get a URL that's not have a bunch of crazy spelling.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Comedy Fest
TC is Traverse City.
Comedy Fest TC.org. let's just click on that. We see, this is not like Oprah,
mm-hmm.
where she's forced to, like, she's basically Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
Is in, you think that Oprah runs the show?
Mm-hmm.
She's actually it, like the Dr. Frankenstein. Her monster is her staff,
mm-hmm.
and they're controlling her. She's the puppet.
She's a caged beast.
She's a caged beast, and they're like basically pulling the strings behind
this. She's just like, they don't tell me things like this. I don't know about stuff like that.
And that's what, basically her whole reality TV show, which is probably Emmy award winning mm-hmm. stuff. One of the best things on television. Mm-hmm. Oprah behind the scenes, 25 years mm-hmm. of madness and mayhem. I added those mm-hmm. part to the title. It's watching Oprah being manipulated and pulled and yanked by her crazy staff.
All her producers. She's got like 20 or 30 producers, if not more. I feel like we've seen 30 of them already.
But you know, the interesting thing about that show is that she and her staff have the same conversation that you and I do
all the time.
We say, what is the point of this? Sometimes we don't even know why this guest is on the show. Why is this
person coming on the show?
Why is this person here? So we'll be in the middle of taping a show and we're still wondering, why are you here?
We're trying to get to the story.
We're trying to get, yeah. So we don't know. We talk about a lot of things that Oprah goes through without the budget, but we go through that. And probably every single podcast does. Traverse City Comedy Arts Festival, February 10th through the 13th, hosted by Michael Moore.
Oh my God, I love it.
Comedy is dangerous. It's going to have Caroline, that chick from...
Caroline in
the
City?
No, the other Caroline.
Hmm.
The one with the witch show, that she was in Hollywood Squares all the time. Caroline Rhea?
Oh, Carol, yeah.
Is that her?
Something like that.
She's the one that's not funny.
Larry the Cable Guy is going to be there, too.
Listen, Mark, you want to get people to go this, not scare them away.
I don't know. Josh also posted a clip on feastoffun.com/fresh, and it was a scene from The Soup. And
this looks really good. I can't believe that they're like struggling to pay their bills. I mean, they're bringing Michael Moore. Do you know how much it costs to book Michael Moore?
How much?
More than Ariana Huffington.
Not anymore.
Okay.
But I think also with Michael Moore he's got a special place in his heart from Michigan.
Oh, okay.
So that's what it is. So he's coming from, you know, that area.
My God. Listen, guys, you know, bring us there. How about that?
I'll come to it.
What if you guys, let's do this right now on the mm-hmm. show. If you guys pay for the hotel room, the travel,
mm-hmm.
Give us a little, you know, food money.
Yes.
And pay for the equipment that breaks mm-hmm. while we're getting over there. We'll tape podcasts with these comedians from the festival there in person. How about that?
Yes.
So contact Mark at mail@feastoffun.com mm-hmm. and set it up. We'll do it. This looks fantastic.
Absolutely.
This is like some of the best people in comedy. You know who's really filthy?
Who?
Is that guy from Full House.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be performing there.
He is.
Yeah, and he never performs anywhere.
You know what his best joke is?
What?
Is he did it in that movie, The Aristocrats. And he was talking about the length of his friend's penis. And he goes to show how long his penis is. And he like takes his one finger, puts it by his mouth, and the other one, his other finger, like towards the back of his head. He's like, it was this long. And I'm just like, that's really funny.
I never realized that Eric Stamos was so dirty. Or John Stamos was dirty.
It's not John Stamos.
Was it Dave Coulier?
No, it's the other one.
What's the name? I forgot. Bob Saget.
Yeah. We need our cue cards.
I know. Oprah.
What are you going to do?
Depressing news.
What?
This is like Debbie Downer. 35 zoo animals freeze to death in northern Mexico. And they have like pictures of dead bears.
I wonder if the bears had to have lived. It must have been somebody else. Well, the problem with the state is that it got hammered by that horrible storm that we got hammered by or one similar to that. So the whole town was without electricity. So I know.
Listen, anybody who's like saying that, oh, it's global warming, mm-hmm. huh? I was like, no, it's called climate change. Mm-hmm. It means because you need, in order to have heavier mm-hmm. snows,
mm-hmm.
you need the climate to get mm-hmm. warmer in order to increase the moisture in the air, meaning more snow.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets warmer globally, right. you get more snow. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're getting.
So what died was 14 parrots, 13 serpents, 5 iguanas, and 2 crocodiles, and a capuchin monkey. So it wasn't, you know... It's not like they're animals you really care much about. Well, the parrot, I guess you, some people would care about that.
Going around the internet, O'Reilly is talking about how...
Bill O'Reilly?
Bill O'Reilly from Fox. He's, I mean, you have to see it for yourself. Mm-hmm. Is him talking about that God put the moon on the earth. And like it's just like him rambling about how the reason, the scientific proof on why God exists is because of the tides go up and down. Mm-hmm. And then somebody said, any fifth grader knows that the tides go up and down because of the moon. And then his response was like, where did the moon come from, huh? Explain that.
Well, the moon came because there was Earth was much smaller at one point in time, and then something the size of Mars hit the Earth, and then we became this giant undulating blobbing mass, and then the moon broke off and stayed in orbit.
A catastrophic collision that happened. They can actually, they've done soil samples from the moon and from the Earth, and models, physical models, to say this is highly, highly likely that this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, if the moon did not exist, what would have happened to the dinosaurs of having a meteor crashing onto the Earth and wiping out most of the life would have happened a lot more often. And life probably, and intelligent life probably would not have developed on Earth.
Well, it may or may not have.
But the other thing so, that, so they say that the gas planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, act like vacuum cleaners, sucking out all the dangerous things that may have crashed onto the Earth. And so that's... They're almost like a protection.
They're protection. Also, too, though, the Earth does some, or the moon does something with the magnetic field that offers some kind of protection, too.
That's a band by that in New York City that Kirthy Fix followed.
But you know, they also, what they're thinking with the dinosaurs, too, is that not only was there catastrophic collisions, but that at one point in time, that a line of coal caught on fire. And they continue to burn, and they, you know, dinosaurs are terrible firemen, and so they they just couldn't put out this fire, and that's probably part of the problem too. Not just, you know, volcano activity, but a line of coal, so the Earth basically just caught on fire.
Rock Coleridge wrote on the Feast of Fun Facebook page, "I thought the halftime show sucked. Didn't like it at all."
Well, if you're not a fan of the Black Eyed Peas, you're not going to like it.
I loved it. You know, I'm well, I'm a fan of the Black Eyed Peas. I don't know why people like rag on Fergie so much. I mean, what can someone explain to me what world do we live in where Christina Aguilera is considered good and the Black Eyed Peas is bad and Fergie is bad, but Christina Aguilera is good? I mean, talk about somebody who oversings a song,
you know.
Listen, Fergie brings in sass and class. Christina,
I'm not a big fan. Listen,
I'm neither.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Well, we want to call the whole thing off. We're running out of time. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's show. Remember that the show Feast of Fun would not be possible without your support. Go to feastoffun.com/donate. Feastoffun.com/donate and make a contribution. We care about you, and we need your support in order to make it happen.
And please share this show on Facebook or Twitter it. Let the peeps know we're out there. We exist. We don't have money to take out giant Super Bowl commercials, so we rely on word of mouth or clicking fingers to get the word out about Feast of Fun.
Hey, you know what? Maybe we start a collection to raise $1 million to get a Super Bowl ad in the next year.
Let's do it.
It's those kind of crazy dreams that drive the internet. We're going to leave you here with the music by Brony. This is a brand new song making its debut here on the Feast of Fun podcast.
Brony?
Brony, baby. His album, To Get Her Together.
Get Her Together?
To Get Her Together.
Oh, I like it.
And the name of the song is You Are My Friend.
Aw, Fausto, you're my best friend in the whole wide world.
So are you, Mark.
Oh, thank you.
And my biggest enemy, too.
Well, we'll see about that. I want to thank everybody for listening.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Please don't give in, 'cause it's not the end. It's not the end, 'cause hope ain't gone. It's just hiding away. You're just hiding. sudden cheer tends to lead to lethargy, and you plus me tends to lead to you and me. How's that? Cricket's not my favorite sport, but I must admit that I've been caught getting excited while catching someone out. But outside of all my glimmers, all my moments and all my ideas, I have always known just what I want. You can try to sway me with fancy fonts, but man, even when I'm beaten, and even when I look defeated, I'll never stop, because I'm the vessel and you, you are my friend. When hope is gone, please don't give in, 'cause it's not the end, it's not the end. 'Cause hope ain't gone, it's just hiding away, you're just hiding away.
I believe you see a friend in me, a positive flux of vibrational chemistry. Though we were born from a different mother, no blood involved, you are still my brother. It's no wonder that we came from this here conclusion. Fist bumped involved without the bruising. I never come to losing you as a friend. I got your back until we transcend and beyond to the very next level. Will God be involved or are we in trouble? Now in my beliefs we created each other, magnetic to magic, created from static. With all of our laughter, what else even matters? Are you hearing me, bro? That's why we rock the show. And if there's an end, we are not two men, only living the now. And now you are my friend.